Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
So it's Monday, first day of apparently Governor Jay Inslee has told us to stay at home. It is not a shelter in place. It is a stay at home. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of these conversations. My name is Kevin Deers. I'm hanging out here on Monday evening, and on the phone right now is Alex Boston from a band called Graying, all the way in Spokane, Washington, the other side of the state. How's it going?
It's going well, buddy. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I can't really complain. I'm just having a pretty good evening. I'm kind of just set up my at-home podcasting equipment. How are you doing, man? How's everything affecting you and your family, dude?
Well, other than feeling super old about not being able to figure out Skype and video calling, because wow, what a difficult thing apparently for two people to do.
Right,
we're pretty good. I'm a working parent, and my partner is a stay at home caretaker, so our lives are pretty isolated, regardless of what we got going on.
Yeah,
we're doing well though. We're doing well. I was texting my bandmates earlier tonight, and I was jokingly talking about making bucket hats for us, and our bassist replied with, "The governor shut down our band practice, I think," and I thought they were just roasting me, but yeah, it turned out it was a real thing.
No, absolutely, man. You guys are, you guys can't, well, I guess, I mean, I don't know. It depends. Do you want to get within 6 feet of some of those people? I mean, come on now. Let's keep our families safe, dude. This is serious biz.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Two of us have kids, and three of us are married, and one of us is a partner to a healthcare worker. So it's probably for the best right now, just to keep our distance from one another.
Exactly. Hey, and if you get the Skype or Zoom figured out, you guys can do practice via that. You know how
there you go.
How weird is it going to be for your daughter if she like walks, she like wakes up in the middle of the night and you're screaming at your phone?
You know, she really wouldn't be that like surprised by it. She's actually quite the entertainer already, surprisingly enough, at 4 years old.
Yeah, so my question is like, so this is unprecedented time that we're living in right now, and I've had a lot of conversations with my mom and my sister and stuff like that, and I'm not a parent, but I'm wondering, how do you handle it? Like, with a kid, you don't want to scare the kid, but you also want to be truthful to him. Like, how do you handle it? What do you tell them specifically what's going on, or you just kind of say, like, hey, the world's a little crazy right now? Like, how do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, we just try to be 100 with her about anything in life, whether that's current events or, like, you know, she knows Donald Trump is the stink bug from a book that she has. So she's you know, she has questions about it, and we just try to tell her, like, you know, the whole idea behind CNN is just lessen the impact on the healthcare system and to keep people from getting sick they don't need to get sick, and
save grandma.
She seems to be handling pretty well, and I think, you know, a lot of people even our age need to understand, it's like, it's not even about grandma, it's about you. You know, like, this thing can have health effects on you whether you get sick, you know, and think that you're going to be fine, it can affect your health long after you recover from it. So.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And that's a really good point you have there. But you guys, so you were mentioning how I saw you post something on social media about how you living in Spokane, living in kind of rural area of Washington State. You were kind of making a joke about how you've always been socially isolated. Do you? Is there some truth to that? Do you really think that you've?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, my parents bought property out in the foothills of Mount Spokane when I was going into my second grade year, and my only sibling that I have is 10 years older than I am, so I had a lot of time. Just there, we didn't have neighbors, you know what I mean? Like, the closest person to us was half a mile down the road.
Yeah.
And they didn't have a kid I wanted to hang out with, you know what I mean? So I grew up a kind of socially, you know, closed off kid anyway. I liked my new metal music, and that was my escape from the real world, and playing the bands kind of brought me out of my shell, I guess. But yeah, I mean, my wife and I have both had multiple discussions about this point, about like whether we need to have concerns or what we need to do, or just take care of our regular grocery shopping. And
yeah,
our lives just really aren't that different. I mean, we went out to a nature reserve the other day, and she was feeling a little bit guilty about it, but like, we just were so isolated from any other people at that point. And it's like,
well, that's the thing.
I understand. Yeah, I understand what we're going for here.
But like Jay Inslee said today, he said you don't have to stay inside. You just have to not be in clusters of people.
Yeah, and that's good. I mean, unfortunately, the work that I do, I just have long hours, and unfortunately, I end up catching up on the news a couple hours later after the fact. So.
Well, you always have to stay up to date with, like, Tony Schiavone and Bruce Pritchard, though, right?
I've got the NPR podcast going that's updated like every 5 minutes, but they don't really touch on Washington State all the time. So let's
talk a little bit about this project that you have going on. You're in a band called Graying, and first off, what inspired the name? Was it looking at your beard? Because I mean, I know you don't have gray hair. You are bald like I am. Was it looking at your beard? What was the name of it?
No, I mean, that was kind of the joke. It was actually a song title that we just really liked, and it was just very appropriate. And we had three of us were in a band, over a decade now. We're getting old now, which is, kind of a joke. But we were in a band called Behold, and we were just debating whether or not, you know, just if we wanted to call it that project or if we wanted to make something new. And Graham, it just fit. It was perfect. A lot of our band is just about going with what feels good and what feels right. And a lot of the things that have pushed us forward so far with what we've done have just been listening to what the universe wants us to do, you know?
So my question is like, you see, you were asking, like, should we just call it Behold? Like, so there was an actual idea of, like, maybe just continuing on. Is Graying the logical, like, continuation of Behold, in your opinion?
I mean, it's definitely something we've talked about. When we first got together, it was three of us that had done that project, Chris, Will, and myself. And it had that same heart. It had that same drive. It had that same spirit. But add 10 years, you know? 10 years of life, 10 years of living, 10 years of growing up. And when we brought our friend Jason in to play bass, he's quite a few years younger than we are.
Totally.
And he went to the whole shows. He had an opinion in it, and he just said outright, like, if you guys wanted to be called Behold, I think, you know, people would want to hear those songs. And my attitude is just like, dude, no thank you.
Yeah.
I don't want to revisit that. I just want to do the new stuff. So that was the deal breaker right there.
Well, we'll get to Behold and we'll get to Losing Skin. I'm going to have you on. This is going to be a 5-hour podcast. And it's going to be.
Of course. Super important.
This is like the shoot interview. You're the Rob Feinstein.
I'd like to think I'm the Kevin Nash, and I have a fine mixture of red wines to tell you about.
And some pasta.
Yes, exactly.
And shake a bottle of Somas, and yeah, see who looks up.
from my fanny pack, exactly.
So we're doing some inside wrestling, some nerdy wrestling talk here. So this interview is actually going to be for the minutia, for the really, really big time nerds. Not only are we going to be talking about underground music in the Northwest, underground hardcore metal, we're going to talk about wrestling, we're going to talk about screen printing, we're going to talk about art. But my question for you is, a lot of us are going to be stuck inside, and you mentioned that you are kind of a person that... You're a socially distant person, like you said, that like kind of that's by nature how you grew up. What are some things that you would suggest for people, like, to keep their sanity? What are some TV shows you would suggest to binge? Some of your favorite movies, maybe a couple records to revisit. What are some ways to keep yourselves occupied? Because I know that there, you know, not everyone is an introvert. There's a lot of extroverts that are probably going crazy right now. What's something you would suggest?
Yeah, man, you want to introvert, that's my life right there. I've got no problem with that. I love being creative. That's been the one thing in my life that's a constant motivating factor for me, whether that's writing music or performing music or screen printing or painting or drawing or doing yoga. I mean, hell, man, exercising, that's been my one big escape in my life, just period, in terms of, like, focusing my thought and collecting myself. And I just try to put that into everything else that I do. So I would suggest, if you got Spotify, I'm right here with you. You make a playlist, make a mixtape, pretend that it's 1995, and you got a friend at school that you want to impress with your fucking...
It's all good, dude.
If you got a friend you want to impress at school, or a girl you want to, you know, ask on a date or something, just make something to pass the time, your favorite songs, and switch it up, you know? Just do something different. If you've got records, try listening to a record all the way through, and not get distracted by something on your phone or something around you. Just pay attention to it and challenge yourself, because I think a lot of people will find that's a lot more difficult than they realize.
Alex, what was that? Sorry, I was looking on my phone. I'm just kidding. you have a good point, though, dude. And for all the wrestling nerds out there, name a match or a pay-per-view to deep dive into. What's something that you would go back and maybe just WWE Network, Independent Wrestling TV, or YouTube or something? Is there something that you would suggest to someone?
I won't give you a match. I won't give you an event. I will just give you a series. Go find NWA on YouTube, National Wrestling Alliance, and watch every single episode of Power that they have out, because
with two R's,
the best wrestling. Yes, three R's.
Oh, sorry, bro.
That is easily the best wrestling. If you just give it a chance, if you pay attention, if you don't get distracted, some of the matches can go one way or the other. But what's important is that it's just an entertaining show. It's like a super surreal, like, variety show that, you know, Bob Barker's not there, but, and, you know, the whole rest of the crew is. It's like a circus on TV. It's wild, dude.
It is really, when I saw the set, I was like, is this a joke? But then I watched it, and, It's fun, man. It's super promo heavy, and the personalities, like, I feel like a lot of people that are casual wrestling fans are kind of just see things, and they might even be more drawn to it because it's personality driven. It's like the old school Ric Flair promos, Dusty Rhodes promo style, and it's something interesting. So
yeah, I understand everybody's got, you know, their flavor. You know, I like AEW. I still follow WWE, even though I haven't watched it in close to probably a year regularly, man. Like, I'll catch some of the pay-per-views here and there, but it has just not been something that I wanted to give my time to.
All right, Alex, I got to you coughed? Are you okay?
I'm good. I'm so good.
All right.
Super good.
All right, just checking in on my friend, dude. I know the cough is a sign.
I promise my cough is not sickness related.
It's a smoker cough. Are you smoking the weed right now?
Yeah,
is this a Damian Abraham interview right now? Are you taking a bong rip?
Not currently, however, before I did start this, which may or may not have contributed to not being able to figure out Skype.
Or Zoom, yes. Or Zoom.
Exactly.
So, Josephus is your man, and...
oh, man, he's great. He's
karate.
He's a rock star.
My question for you is, how do you feel about WWE continuing on with WrestleMania with, like, the empty arena, empty performance center? Is it going to be something you'll watch? Are you kind of morbidly perplexed by it? Are you interested in it? Or is it just, like, unwatchable? Or what's your opinion on it, dude?
I mean, I think the whole idea behind whether it's WWE or AEW doing the empty arena show they did last week or whenever you put this out, it makes me feel, some degree of like normalcy. It's kind of like an escape. So it's like on that hand, I do appreciate it. But it's what side of history are you going to be on? It's hopefully nobody is sick. Hopefully nobody
that's a thing.
Comes down with symptoms or spreads around the locker room. So it's like, obviously you wish for the best, but I can't say that I'll be watching it live. I'm interested to see what AEW does this week. I'm interested to see what some of the smaller promotions I've been watching are going to do as their taping schedules start to come up. But it's same thing as this week. I wish I could go to band practice, but for better judgment, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep our distance. And I wish them well, but I'm not in that position. So I guess it's not my call to make. But I don't think I would be putting myself in their shoes personally.
That's a good point, and I listen to a lot of post wrestling and John Pollock and Wei Ting. They have a lot of interesting kind of opinions about it, and I take what they say pretty seriously, and at least their opinions on it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'm a regular listener, and I agree with a lot of things they have to say. It's like like I said, you got to hopefully you're on the right side of history at the end of all this.
So, speaking of history, so you like that little segue, let's go a little bit into your personal, musical history, man. So you grew up in Spokane, is that right? Like, pretty much your entire life you grew up in Spokane, right?
Born and raised. I grew up in a part of town that isn't known to be the best, called Hilliard.
Okay.
And when I finished first grade, I moved out to the country, and I grew up in the country ever since.
So what got you into music, man? At what age did you discover, I like you said, nu metal, or like what? Were you just listening to the like rock radio, or what was the first band that...
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with parents that, listened to a lot of music. My mom loved funk and soul and jazz and easy rock and James Taylor and all that, and pop music from the 80s and 90s. And my dad he's a rocker man through and through, AC/DC, Jimi Hendrix,
Absolutely.
So I remember I stole Van Halen, Forum Off Old Carnal Knowledge, when I was in sixth grade to listen on the CD player that I also snuck to school that my parents didn't know about, so I could listen to him on the bus. So I started listening to music that I guess I thought was alternative, when I was still 9 or 10
years.
And then as I got older, junior high, I started paying attention to all those really emotional, deep with thought, and just well thought out bands like Limp Bizkit, Korn, and just ran the gamut of all that, and Linkin Park, System of a Down. And I got a little bit older and figured out how to download music, and I'd say from Autumn to Ashes and Converge and Glassjaw were my first like introductions to the world of hardcore, and kind of shaped me into the person that I ended up being.
And so what, how did you find those bands? Was it like a thank you list, how'd you find those?
I'm sure a lot of kids my age, I was born in 86, so
yeah.
a lot of kids who were in their teens and I was probably posted on message boards just like me and went to their favorite band's websites, and you kind of just pick it up through osmosis or people, you know, telling you to check it out. And, you know, my bands were Mudvayne and Slipknot. Those are like my favorite two new metal bands.
Boom, 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 boom.
Good, bury me. I just remember this dude RJ I was buddies with told me to check out From Mom Dashes on a Mudvayne message board. It's their first EP before they sold out, bro.
Pre Too Bad You're Beautiful, Fada.
Exactly.
Holy crap, dude. You're old school FATA, man. Damn, dude. You're legit.
Yeah, dude, I bought Jane Doe the week that it came out. I was very excited about that CD.
Hey, a lot of people are, and that is one of that era that still holds a good place in like musical lore. And I feel like just the amount of people that have that tattooed on their body is got to be above at least probably 1,500. What do you think? What if you were to guess how many people in the world have a Jane Doe tattoo somewhere on their body? What do you think the number's around?
There's definitely 1,499 other people other than me who have Jane Doe tattooed on their body, because I also have Jane Doe tattooed.
Where is it? Where is it? Is it?
It's on the inside of my left forearm. It's nice. Just like part of a bigger piece. It's like the shading of a skull. I've got a lot of skulls. So.
Well, okay.
A lot of people I know have skulls.
So do you have a heartogram?
No heartograms. Wasn't never into him.
But were you into BAM?
I liked, here's the thing. You want to talk about being isolated and living in the country. Dude, when I figured out that I could download CKY on Morpheus or whatever the hell, P2P sharing platform, CKY, CKY, CK, I watched those on repeat to death. So, I definitely took a lot of those dudes, but never got into a lot of music. You know, I did find Demi Borger because of Bam, though. I will say that.
And yeah, dude. Progenies, still hard. So, Alex, you said you have a Converge Jane Doe tattoo. What other band tattoos do you have? I know you're pretty much covered. You have a lot of tattoos all over your body. You're a freak. You're an alternative lifestyle individual. You have many pain stains.
Put on the spot, I can tell you.
Let's count them.
You've got to kill your idols. Kill your idols tattoo. That might be it. Other than the Converge tattoo, I've got a lot of bullshit. I've got a lot of stuff I just think looks cool.
Hey.
But outright band tattoos. I think that's just it. Kill your
just
idols.
Just a couple.
Converge.
So what was we're skipping around here a lot, but I'm curious. Do you?
Okay. Oh my God! You know what? I forgot I'm on my Danzig skull. Are
yeah,
I got three. Damn. All right. I'm sorry about that. There
no,
you go.
It's all good, dude. We're skipping around here a lot, but I haven't talked to you in a while. You're also not just an interview subject, but you're a good homie of mine. So it's cool to talk to you on the phone here, formal setting. But I gotta ask a couple questions here. Do you recall how we met?
I believe so. I think we met at our friend Annie's house.
Yeah.
It was like a big show weekend.
It was.
I think we were just. I think it there were like a bunch of bands over to go swimming at the lake at a river maybe or a creek, and
I think
we just were hanging out and we just started talking there. Yeah.
So. That may have been the first time we met, but I was wondering if you recall the first time we made initial contact via the internet.
I don't know. Do I?
So one day I log on to MySpace and I get a friend request from DSC. And I'm wondering.
Oh no! Really?
I was wondering if you could.
I wanted to be known that I had no hand in this. No hands in this.
So
absolutely no hands in this.
Is this off?
Oh my god.
Okay. Well, DSC was a MySpace hardcore crew.
Yes.
So Alex Boston of Graying has ties to a gang out of Spokane called DSC, now disbanded, the roughest crew of them all. What was DSC?
Whoa! When? Who ever said disbanded?
Oh! You guys are still holding it down.
You know, all those dudes, even the ones that maybe I haven't talked to in a number of years, they're still good guys. They're, you know, it's just a group of friends. You know how dumb teenagers are.
Oh, absolutely. I just thought it was funny to bring that up. All right.
Or young 20-somethings.
It's all good. It's all good. I lived at a house called the Bro Chateau, so I have no room to make funny.
Oh, dude, man, I heard about that place.
Yeah, well... What was the first album you ever purchased on your own? Like CD, tape, cassette, album? What was the first time? And I'm assuming it's probably at like Sam Goody or somewhere at the mall or Fred Meyer or something. What was the first thing that you purchased on your own with your own money, not given to you by like a cooler older brother or your parents or something?
So I would say the first CD I ever bought in my life was Elton John.
Yeah.
I think it was the, I can't remember the name of it. It had like a blue cover, something about the piano, man. I can't remember, man.
Okay.
But first CD I ever bought was Elton John.
Okay.
And the first record I ever bought, like, you know, once I started finding music that was my thing,
yeah,
was The Promised Believer, red vinyl. And actually, I just got it out the other day, a split 7-inch. By a band called Mannequin, which was band members of Page 99 after they broke up, and another band called Transistor.
Yeah, that's an interesting transition there from Elton John to The Promise, dude. How'd you make that joke? Oh, no, I'm just kidding. So you were talking about bands like Glassjaw and things that got you kind of into hardcore. Like, did you realize that there was like a hardcore scene, or was it just like cool music? Did you realize that? Did you know what you were like getting into, or how long did it take to get that connection to you?
I didn't understand what hardcore music was until the first time I went to a show in the town that I lived in.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like, you know, that's the best way to experience it. You go to a show and you see it for yourself. And if you can hang with it, then go to the next one. If you can't, don't. And fortunately for me, the first show I went to was in the mid-2000s when Christian hardcore was probably at its peak.
Oh, yeah.
Because I saw Norma Jean supporting Bless the Martyr, yeah, after that first dude quit the band, the first vocalist. Mm-hmm. They had that scab guy. And I saw Norma Jean, The Agony Scene, Nodes or NBA, 7 Star.
Nice. Take it back.
Figure Four, which, yep, was Figure Four, and Norma Jean was why I was there.
So hard.
I had never thought that kind of thing would have existed in my little town, mm-hmm, but that show was packed and people were going ape. I'm like, you know, it's the first time I saw hardcore dancing. It was the first time I was around moshing outside of, you know, bad, you know, Ozfest wannabe, you know, goth new metal kid.
Sure, sure.
You know, hanging out in the parking lot stuff. And it was just a life changing experience.
I saw Norma Jean with it was Norma Jean at the Vera Project. It was Norma Jean, Me Without You, Beloved, and Himsa.
Oh yeah, you know, Beloved actually played that show too. Now that I think about it, man, first time I saw Himsa at in Spokane was at this place called the Detour.
Okay,
and they played with, I think, a band called All That Remains, I want to say.
Yeah.
And they packed the venue past fire code.
Nice.
This kid ended up falling and, like, I think breaking his knee or separating his knee or something. And the fire department had to come in, and it was a big deal, dude. But man, Enzo was wild. That was a great band to see back in the day.
So you mentioned about hardcore dancing. So what was your first thought, like, legitimately, like, you know, what did you think? Did you think it was cool?
I think it's the dumbest Tuesday. I think it's the dumbest. Like, if it's your thing, you do your thing, but it's not for me.
But you did it, right?
I've done it occasionally in my life when I felt pressured to in my youth. Yes.
Okay,
I think we're all guilty of it.
What was your finisher?
I had none. Maybe that's why I didn't dig it. Maybe I just didn't have good enough moves. I can't really dance to begin with. So, I mean, that might be part of it. Although I did listen to Getting Even by The Answer on repeat over and over and over to figure out how to two-step. So I will say that.
Nice. So you actually legitimately like practice moshing, right?
At one point, yeah. I mean, who hasn't? If you're a dumb, young, angry male who's into hardcore punk in his late teens and early 20s.
Did you ever...
Hey, you know what? That's a great way to pass the time. Let's be real.
That's true.
Like, if you're in your living room right now, you know, just make some space. I remember being back on LiveJournal, you know, way back in the day, being parts of hardcore groups. And, that being a thing that people would post themselves hardcore dancing in like their parents' living room with all their like doilies and China on the walls.
So that's something we highly encourage for you to do. But I have a question because it is something that I actually used to do, and this is cringe, but it's early 2000s.
See, there you go.
This is cringe. No, I have something even cringier. So we used to do the stoplight mosh, where we would stop at a stoplight and people would get out of our car and we would play like we would jump around and we would all get out of the car and do hardcore dancing.
What were you doing to
Shattered Realm?
Oh my god, dude! I downloaded MP4. I downloaded an MP4 of people doing it to Perseverance in a variety of spaces, including running around the car to them.
Yeah,
the internet is so.
Yeah, we used to, so it was like the fire drill. You would get out of the car and we would all go into different spots or whatever, and we would listen to Shattered Realm, This Is a War You Cannot Win, or Throwdown. Definitely a lot of Throwdown.
Yeah, going crazy during the breakdown, exactly.
All right, so did you ever own a Castro hat?
Military hat?
Yeah, military hat.
Multiple, man. Black and army green.
Nice. So we're really going down the rabbit hole here on the what were the local bands for you guys? Because what were some badass like Spokane, you know, whether they were like metalcore, punk, indie? What was some stuff you grew up on? Because I know, you know, obviously there's bands here from Western Washington that used to come out to your scene, but I know you guys have your own thing going. What are some other bands out there? I know Ron Gardapi used to talk about R.I.P. Ron Gardapi. I know he used to talk about some, you know, Spokane hardcore bands and Spokane punk bands that you guys have your own scene.
Yeah, man. You know, maybe it goes with being an introvert and kind of growing up just being into my own things, but it's like being into new metal and being into classic rock and all that. I really liked a lot of the early 2000s, like screamo bands. Like I loved Robotic Empire and Level Plane and No Idea Records. So a lot of the bands that I saw live locally were, you know, semi poor representations of that.
Yeah,
you know, small venues. My Life with the Spaniard was a local band that was probably one of my favorite bands to see. There was another group called the Awesome Miami that was far from being the most talented group of musicians, but their shows were parties. I got into some metalcore locally. The Midnight Society, they were in another band called Barely Burning before that. I'm trying to think of bands. It's been so long since I've talked about Spokane music. So a lot of the people that I've known for over the last 10, 15 years are playing in bands now that I'm a bigger fan of now than I would have been when we were peers in our teens and our 20s. Perry Resch, Headless Heartless, Ascending Divide, those are all bands that are going right now that I think
nice.
Are really talented individuals that people should give a chance. And as far as like, old hardcore bands in town, it's like they're kind of few and far between. A lot of the stuff that my friends and I did, I felt like a lot of other bands weren't doing. So a lot of like hardcore punk bands I picked up from Seattle and Portland scenes, and just tried to get them to come to town. Spokane had a band called College back in the 90s that was a pretty sick like hardcore punk band, but it's just kind of wasn't my scene, and it was before my time, unfortunately.
So you guys, touched on something interesting there, and you tried to get bands to come out to your to your part of Washington, to Spokane. You booked a lot of shows, and I know Ian from Metal Shop, if you're listening, he was in a band called Vanguard, and you booked some Vanguard shows. What gave you kind of, you know, the itch to just start booking shows? Because that's an interesting thing about hardcore and punk and even some metal, is that you know, the kids can book it themselves. You don't have to be a booking agent on the professional level.
I mean, it started with, honestly, the first show I ever booked was an accident. My buddy who was playing in the band that I was in was booking the shows that we were doing. And we didn't have a falling out, but he was no longer playing an instrument in the band. So yeah. He wasn't taking care of the show. And I'm a little bit of a control freak, I think, in terms of the things that I put my time and effort into. You know, like I want to be professional. I want it to be worth my time. I want it to be worth, you know, everybody else's time to invest into it. So I kind of just picked up the show. I picked up advertising it, and I just took care of door, and it went from there. I just started asking bands that I wanted to see. Just period. And, you know, if I could ask American Nightmare and Converge to play in my town in 2005, you know, believe me, I would have. But I made do with what I had.
Yeah.
So Vanguard. I love Vanguard. Was awesome. They were a great band to have in Spokane. The Helm and Owen Hart and all those bands that all those guys have done from day one. Brian Skiffington, Jay. Tim, you know, all those dudes,
Jeffrey,
Jeffrey, all those dudes, you know, I love booking all those bands for over the years, and, you know, I just use it as an excuse more than anything, is to, like, play with bands that I felt that were like-minded to what I was doing with my band, which is kind of what we're doing now, you know, it's no different anymore. I just want to play shows with people that I want to give my time to.
If someone's listening right now and they want to do that too, and they want to book a show, like what's some advice you would give them?
Well, be willing to just spend money, because unfortunately that's just the reality.
Yeah.
If you want to ask a band to play your town, you got to make it worth your while. Otherwise, they're not going to come back to your town, and they're going to tell all their friends not to come to your town because you didn't hook them up, you didn't take care of them. So.
Yeah.
I would say if you want to book a band, see if you can get one band, find a venue before you do that, and if it's a bar, try to keep it to no more than three bands on that bill, because people have jobs and life, and they don't want to go to a fest every night of the week, you know?
Absolutely. I like 2, 3, 4 band shows. You know, occasionally
If we could get away with two band bills more regularly, I would love to do that. But I feel like people prefer to have three.
How about just one? An evening with Alex Boston and Graying.
Oh my God, I'd be terrified that I would bore everybody, to be totally honest.
Two sets, an acoustic and then a spoken word / Q&A.
The acoustic stained break mid set, yeah.
I'm feeling those lighters.
yes, you can be my friend Nurse.
Oh, that's a turn on, man. Okay, so let's talk a little bit here about like the first band you were in. So was the first band you were in Behold, or were you in projects before that, dude?
Oh my God! So the first band I was in was called Go For Broke.
Oh yeah, but I remember Go For Broke, and then Suck a Punch.
I would be remiss to say that it was not called Suck a Punch first. we did. You know, it's the dumb, you know, bad 3-chord progression hardcore riff.
Yeah,
you know, just get your feet wet, figure out what to be doing. You know, I was talking to my wife about it the other day, and the first time I ever yelled in front of people, my knees just started shaking so crazy. It was so hard to stand up, and now it's just like, let's just get this over with. Want to go home and hang out with my kids.
So when your friends were picking up instruments and wanted to play music, did you ever think, like, I'm going to be a guitarist, I'm going to be a drummer? Or did you always say, like, this is what I have to offer, I can sing? Like, what made you decide, like, you're going to just do the singing thing? Because that's what you've done for all the bands that you've been in.
I never really decided. I mean, I know that I always paid attention to vocalists and frontmen, but I also paid a lot of attention to guitar players and bass players. I when I was a kid, I thought I would learn how to play guitar and I would just be this shred master.
You know, yeah. Like
my mom raised me listening to Stevie Ray Vaughan, so it's just like, I thought, you know, I'm just gonna race city and Zach Wilde, you know, like I'll be this guitar god, but I never learned how to play an instrument. I do that. So, no, yeah, first time I was ever at a band practice, I was just hanging out with my buddies, and they were taking a break, and somebody told me to try yelling into the microphone. I did it. Just went from there.
Nice, dude. And that's how Sucker Punch started.
That's how Sucker Punch started, yeah.
Amazing. And then, so, after Go From Rokes ends, you play in a band called Behold, and you guys were certainly a lot more like... I don't know, melodic and dark and brooding and more of the, like, I don't know. If I remember, I haven't listened to them in quite a while, but it reminded me kind of like Coliseum meets... were you guys D-beat at all?
I mean, it was definitely just the style for the time, that kind of dark, hardcore style. Kinda
like Cursed-ish, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a lot of that was my buddy James... who played guitar in Go For Broke. He actually played guitar in one of those early Spokane bands I talked about called Barely Burning.
Okay, yeah.
And he's just a super talented dude. He just has a really good ear for playing music just mm-hmm. naturally with melody and everything. So we hooked up with our buddy Chris, who was more of a metal drummer.
Yeah.
He had been playing in a punk band called The Dead One. So he'd already kind of been in a place where he'd had all of his wires crossed and switched around to try to do something different from what he was used to.
Uh-huh.
And he turned us on to bands like Envy and Tragedy. And James and I remember that first summer we did Behold, we just kind of listen through all of that stuff. Yesu and Pelican were just kind of starting to take off at that mm-hmm. time. And
yeah,
we were never I would say talented enough musicians to do that level of songwriting, but we did what we could and made do with what we had.
And it's interesting because at this point now you're a total stoner, but it seems like you were playing kind of like stoner music, but at the time you guys were all straight edge.
Yeah, I mean, Chris wasn't straight edge, but the other three people that were in the band were. I didn't break edge till almost in my 30s, so it was just a lot of repressed emotions from men. You know, that's a tale of oldest time, unfortunately. So
you
get it out the ways that you can instead of having unhealthy coping mechanisms, I suppose.
Fair enough, man. So, Behold, you guys are a band for, I don't know, what, 5-6 years? You guys do a little bit of touring, and you put out some records. Did you guys ever put an official, like, album out? I feel like you guys put out a bunch of demos, right? And EPs?
Yeah, we were a band for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
We tried to do a couple West Coast, but had problems. So it's not like we did anything ever too crazy. And, you know, it's like I'm really proud of that time now that I can look back on it. But it's like I didn't really necessarily feel like it was a huge deal, and it's kind of cool now to have, you know, I'll meet people once in a while and have them talk about it as being like something as us being a local band for them being a young kid. So it's definitely a cool thing to like kind of reflect back on. But yeah, it was only 3 years, so it's kind of cool to see the impact that it's kind of had on our local music community, I'd say. But no, we never had anything official. We had some label interest, but we just unfortunately kind of fell apart when we needed to be following up on that.
So from there, when you guys broke up, did you take a break from music, or was it just straight into Losing Skin from that point? Cause, you know, it seems like you kind of always stayed busy with music, at least in my opinion, maybe just from the outside.
A little bit. I started playing in a band that had already been active called Whalen. I did a release with them, and I met the guitar player Chase from that band.
Yeah,
who we ended up starting Losing Skin together, and that was, that was like, hey man, you know what's really cool? Integrity. Let's just be Integrity. Let's start a band that is Integrity. So that was just how that happened. We it was at the end of Behold when we started playing together.
Yeah.
So it was that same year, 2009, that Behold broke up, that we started Losing Skin. And then Losing Skin is it's a beast that will it's not dead.
Really?
We're not done. We're just not together. You know, we're not around each other at the moment. So.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. I maybe I should bust out my Losing Skin hoodie and my Losing Skin hat and do a little moshing. You guys were...
never say never, right?
You guys played some Slayer covers at Rainfest. I do remember that. You guys did a Life of Agony cover. I think you guys have played Integrity covers. What's one band with Losing Skin that you think, if you were to resurrect the band, you think you guys could pull off?
I want to do Susie Sue, dude. Like, that was the end of the band. That was what I was pushing for. I know the song. Like, yeah. As long as those guys are willing to put up with my harebrained ideas as the not traditional metal guy of the group, then I think they can do some pretty good stuff.
So, Losing Skin, you guys do a little bit of touring, and actually a fair amount, more than Behold. You guys go down to the West Coast a lot, and you know, was it just kind of like you guys like left, you know, are in different places as far as like your lives, or what kind of put a hiatus on the band?
Yeah, so three of us ended up having kids.
Fair
one
enough.
One of us ended up moving to Hawaii for school.
Wow.
And, you know, just realized it's like, it's not necessarily like we ended it on a note of indifference. It's just I like to think of it as being an open door sort of policy. We played a last show with our bassist before he moved.
Okay,
but if he came back and those guys wanted to get together, I wouldn't be opposed to it. It's just I just kind of go with flow, man. Like I'm down to give my time and energy to whatever is going to give that energy back to me. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man. And that's a, you know, from there. I mean, as far as the Alex Boston timeline, your life kind of changed a lot from there. I mean, you had a kid, and what's a couple ways that changed you, man? I'm sure it changed you. I obviously have never had a child, but did that, you know, how did that change you, man?
I mean, I'd say having a kid has been the best thing that has happened to me in my life. It's the thing that has awakened me to the person that I truly, you know, strive to be.
Yeah.
So I like playing music. Losing Skin just came to a point where it just wasn't very fun to devote my time to it when the payoff was hanging out with my friends and, you know, drinking beer and partying or hanging out and stuff. Like, that's just not what I want out of music. So
yeah.
When my daughter came into my life, it was just, you know, I like creating things. I like bringing things into existence. I like being able to hold something in my hand that I physically made. So to have like a human being that is
you physically made it, yeah.
Receptive to like my thoughts and ideas and the things I have to say and have questions for me. It's just like it is the ultimate sacrifice of time and patience, but it's also like the most rewarding thing I think that I've accomplished in LA.
What's something she's into? Does she like the crazy music you and your mom, you and her mom, your wife, that you guys play? Or you guys play pretty chill music around her?
Oh, she loves everything. Right now, we're a Spotify family, so they'll give you little briefs or whatever on certain things. But she clocked in on my wife's Spotify account as being in the top 2% of baby metal fans.
I met them.
Oh yeah, dude, they are awesome. She loves them.
Yeah, dude, she needs to watch.
She loves baby metal. Oh, go ahead.
Agretsuko. Have you heard of it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Jackie loves it. We've watched it.
Okay.
She loves baby metal. She's been on an Aqua kick lately, but just that.
Shout out John Pollock. Album with Barb.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, no, she's really loved telling me this week that Papa's music is boring.
Poppy?
No, Papa's music is boring.
Oh, okay.
She's been telling me.
No,
Poppy. I tried showing her, but it's a little more adult than baby metal is, unfortunately.
Poppy is like advanced baby metal, dude.
Yeah, dude. If it wasn't for the lyric content, I'd probably be playing it a little more. Although she straight up was just like, "This is boring. I want baby metal." Like,
fair
enough. I mean, she's four. She's articulate enough to tell me what she wants.
So. Yeah, she knows what she likes,
but,
dude.
No, she likes Papa's band. She likes Dad's band. It's cool.
Nice, dude. So she likes graying. So. That's dope, dude. Just get her in the pit. So from kind of like, you know, dad life, was there any reservation of like, you know, because I'm assuming once you have a kid, you're more like aware of how much time you're spending like away from your kid, right? Like, did you ever think like, man, I don't know if I can do another project and put things, you know, your time into another band? Or were you just like, you needed that release? I'm kind of putting words in your mouth, but I'm just kind of assuming that.
No. I absolutely. We had our daughter, and we weren't active with losing skin. We had, unfortunately, if you're a band for a prolonged period of time, you lose and gain a lot of members, and that is just a really hard hurdle to want to get over again and again. So by the time we had our daughter, losing skin had kind of slowed down, and I was just straight up with those guys like, we were trying to get pregnant at the time. It wasn't an accident or anything. So I was just outright like, hey, this is where my life is going, so I don't know if I'm gonna have time to do this, but if you guys are down to do it, I'll give you my time when I've got it available. And those other guys went and did their own things and lived their own lives, and I just found myself not really having any interest in playing music. I started drawing a lot. Started doing dumb post-it note drawings of wrestlers and trying to post those, you know, once a day as often as I could. And I just tried to put my energy into something that, like, could be my own. I never learned how to play an instrument, and I would be the last person to consider myself a musician because I love playing music and I love being creative, but I can't write a song to save my life. So when we decided to start playing music with graying, it was on the condition of, like, I'm not a small business owner, but I'm part of a family business. So I make my own schedule. I'm my own boss. So it's like, that takes up a lot of my life, period.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of my time away from my family. So playing music kind of gets lost to the wayside as, you know, life moves on and the older I get. And the reason we started kind of doing stuff with graying is because of familiarity. Chris and I are friends, and he played drums in Behold. He played drums in the later years of Losing Skin, and he started playing drums and graying because we wanted to do a project together.
Yeah,
and we just got together with our friend Will, and it was in my basement, and then it was in our friend's base or in our bassist's basement. Then it was in my garage. You know, it's a band of convenience, and it's definitely taken a few years to get going, and it's taken a few years to I guess rekindle my my fire for music for sure. But it's a good balance right now.
So you, I got to note, I've kind of noticed that it's a little bit, I mean, it's still technically like hardcore metal music. It's very aggressive, but it's a little bit more rockin', like maybe some alternative rock influence there. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I would love to hear from people to hear. You know, so I have always had a hard time describing the music I play. So I appreciate you doing it for me. But yeah, like I said, I grew up listening to AC/DC was my dad's like number one favorite band. And yeah. Much like the Misfits, they have not aged well, lyrically. I still love that music, and I want people to listen to our band and, come to a show and feel like they had a good time and
yeah.
got to dance around and bang their head and drink their beer and just forget about their problems for a little bit. So yeah, I would definitely go with the rock part.
That's awesome, man. It's cool to see that you're doing music on your own terms. You're doing art on your own terms, and let's talk a little bit about wrestling, because I know that's, you know, maybe you don't watch WWE as much lately, but how did you become a fan of wrestling? Like, what was the first memory of watching wrestling? Was it like with your dad on your dad's lap or something, or Attitude Era? When was the first time you got into the sport of kings?
Yeah, I mean, my brother was 10 years older than me, and I just, you know, it was on TV as I was a kid. Definitely lots of early WWF. I want to say it's Rumble 93 when the poster has the painted art of all the wrestlers kind of walking.
Oh, hell yeah. Yep.
To the arena. So it's like I vividly remember, you know, like that kind of stuff. I want to say like my first like conscious memory of like, oh man, I got to watch this pay-per-view. I can't remember which SummerSlam. I think it's the SummerSlam, but it's the boiler room brawl between Mankind and Undertaker.
Oh yeah.
And I just remembered watching the lead up to the pay-per-view, and there was a pool. And a bunch of wrestlers were in the pool, and Sonny was with Todd Bettengill, and I was like, man, this is so awesome. I want to watch the show. And somebody took a turd in the pool, and T.L. Hopper had to jump in, and he grabbed it out and took a big old bite of it because it was a candy bar. And I was just like, Mom, please, can we order this, please? So, yeah, that's where it started.
Did you ever have any memories of like wrestling action figures and stuff, or like wrestling t-shirts? What was the first merchandise from wrestling that you ever purchased?
Yeah, so my mom didn't like, was not a big fan of wrestling the further into the Attitude Era that it got. So she was never, she didn't want to buy me merch, like clothing wise, but she'd buy me toys.
I had you mean those, she didn't want to buy you the Suck It t-shirt? Come on, dude.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I had so many bookmarks on my computer during that time of WWE shop of like DX football jersey, The Rock football jersey.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
But no, she bought me action figures. You know, I grew up with like G.I. Joes and Ninja Turtles, so that was no big deal. So I had plenty of, you know, random JoJo action figures. The ones I held on to though were those. I think they were Jax.
Bone crunching.
They sweat. You could
fill
them with water.
Creepiest.
Yeah. So I had an Undertaker, I had a Mankind, and a Rock, and I still got them. I actually gave them to my daughter. So.
Nice. So. You're not just a surface level wrestling fan though, because you mentioned there just a couple minutes ago that you do you manage an account called El Hijo de Chipo Grosso, and that's where you post some post-its, and you've got quite a collection now, and I think you have a lot of influencer followers, actual wrestlers themselves follow you. So what have been some of your favorite post-its, and have you ever sold one to a wrestler themselves?
I mean, not that I know of. Every once in a while, I'll see somebody like something, or yeah. like I'll get a repost from somebody, and that's super cool. But like, I try to like, you know, check my head once in a while, because it's like, these are people that are, I see a lot of parallels between independent music and independent wrestling, so it's like,
sure.
I appreciate the sport and everything, but it's like, I don't want to get a big head about it, but I love drawing dumb, weird, and mm-hmm. wrestlers are great at making dumb faces and just being characters, so it's like, it's a good pairing. I think all my favorites are masked wrestlers, personally.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of luchadors, a lot of Japanese wrestlers, Jushin Thunder Liger, Pentagon Jr., like, those have been my favorite. I've sold a couple of post-its to just, like, friends or, like, people on Etsy. The mm-hmm. only one that I can say is, like, kind of weird is I had a dude who was he was like a higher up at 3M, which is the company that produces post-its.
Oh yeah.
And he bought my original Bold Nakano one that I did. Unfortunately, I kind of wish I hadn't sold it, because that was like one of my favorite ones that I did, but yeah, that was probably one of the cooler ones. And then I don't know, I don't want to name drop or anything, but I did sell some stuff to Chris Hero a while ago.
The Chris Hero, man. That's awesome, dude. So people can follow you on Instagram for that, and what got you deeper into like the nerd wrestling hole of it, and you know, because you know, you just name dropped some wrestlers like Pentagon and Jushin Thunder Liger and Bull Nakano. If people are just casual like Attitude Era fans or something like that, they might not know those names. But like, what got you deeper into the rabbit hole that is like indie and international wrestling? Certain moment that got you into it?
Part of it was just being on the internet mm-hmm. in the time that we are. You know, it's like I worked a office job for a long time before I started screen printing, and man, it was boring, and I had a lot of time to kill and yeah. a lot of time to look at Wikipedia, and I just remembered one day, I never necessarily stopped having an interest in wrestling, but I definitely had a period of time where I didn't watch, but I would always rent Raw or SmackDown for, you know, PS2 or whatever system I had, and I'd keep current on rosters and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I started downloading shoot interviews and
yeah.
Wikipedia pages and reading about, you know, the aftermath of WCW closing and TNA
yep.
opening and the independent wrestling community thriving in the early and mid 2000s at a time when I was totally unaware of it, to now where it's, you know, you can hop on Twitter or Instagram and be exposed to it up to the second. So it's, I mean, I'm not a sports guy. I never was in my life, but I like professional wrestling. It's just a fun escape and a cool little world to kind of analyze, I guess. But I try not to be one of those fans that's like, you know, super negative with their opinion. So
yeah,
I'm very much like, if you enjoy what you enjoy, just try not to step on anybody else's toes.
So
I like to, you know, there's a period of time where I really liked Jim Cornette too, but I don't think I'd be big, you know, hanging out with him now.
Double cheese. Yeah. All right, what's your Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
Oh man, are you kidding me? You're just gonna throw that on me?
Yep.
Just out of nowhere like that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, definitely Ric Flair is up there.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like I think wrestling is really cyclical, and depending on your interest level and when you grew up or when you want to pay attention to it, it's kind of like
Josephus.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't. Hey, man, I love some Josephus. I appreciate the work the man puts in, but I wouldn't be putting him on a Mount Rushmore. No,
Richie Steamboat.
No. Richie Steamboat.
Yeah.
No.
Wes Briscoe?
No, I don't think so. No, man. I wouldn't go that old. I'd say Flair. I'd say Dusty. I'd say, I mean, you got to say Austin, right?
Yeah. Austin, hell yeah. Give me a hell yeah. Did you see that awkward segment with Byron Saxton?
Dude, I watched the first SmackDown. I watched a couple of segments on YouTube. I watched that Gulak and Daniel Bryan segment, or maybe Daniel Bryan was wrestling somebody else. But yeah. No, I haven't watched any of it. It looks kind of awkward. It looks awkward. I don't want to watch it. I already don't want to watch 3 hours of Raw. I don't want to watch a weird 3 hours of Raw.
Like, get ready.
AEW, I was already interested in, I was already watching, and I'm not saying one is better than the other, but it's like, that was what was catching my interest, and at least they put the other performers out there, and like I said, hopefully nobody gets sick, hopefully nothing gets in those locker rooms, but damn, that was a much better show, in my opinion.
Get ready for 7 hours of it with WrestleMania.
How? How are they going to do that?
It's over two nights, bro, and Gronk's going to be the person, he's going to be the host.
But how are they going to produce 7 hours of television, man? How are they? I don't even. Hey, for real, I canceled my WWE subscription months ago. Like I'm just saying, like it's not like this. It's not like been this sudden thing. It has been a slow decline of interest, and I'm just like, I got to cut the cord. I'm over this.
You're over it. Okay, well,
you want to give me your login, I'm not going to turn that down.
Maybe I'll give you my login. We'll see. We got to trade some stuff. Give me your.
Dude, I want to send you a care package. I've been meaning to hit you up about.
Ooh, what do you got for me?
I got plenty of old band need to get rid of. Come on.
Yeah.
I got bootlegs galore, right?
So that's something that we can't talk about, right?
Bootlegs?
Yeah, so
we can talk about it to a degree.
So there's an underground world of prohibition like traders of unlicensed merchandise known as bootlegs, and you've been known to dabble in some bootleggery.
I would say 90% of my wardrobe in my closet right now is made of t-shirts that I made myself of bands that I have not been in. Yes.
What made you decide, like, hey, dude, screw it. I'm just going to, because you're good at Photoshop, you like bands, and a lot of bands don't make t-shirts that, that really either fit you right or, you know, they just don't make cool designs anymore or something, right?
It's usually just the sheer fact of, like, not existing more often than not for me. I don't know, man. Like, I like making stuff for myself and for my friends, but I gave up the ghost on trying to sell bootlegs in mass to people because that it just doesn't bring anything good into your life. And there's plenty of Instagram bootleggers now that are going to find out the hard way, just like I did.
That's a good point, dude. And I have purchased some bootleg shirts on Instagram, and I feel like there was a point there where I was getting like four shirts a week, man. It was hard. I had to unfollow some accounts just because I have too many shirts. Have you gotten any cease and desists?
Just the one that made me not want to do it anymore. And they were a metal band that is known to be very outright and litigious. They are no longer together. But it sucks. You know, it's like not only did it suck because it's like, hey, it feels like that, like, this band that you like, that, like, you're making a t-shirt for because you want one, is, like, pissed at you. But then it's also like, hey, I gotta pony up because I did this and I gotta pay up, you know, so.
Oh, you had to pay up?
I mean, as far as I know, they donated all the money that they got from bootleggers to charities. Like, that was something they were known to do. I'm sure if you know anything about metal music, you probably know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But no, I've actually had other bands who I did boot. I bootlegged a shirt for Killing Time. Or not Killing Time.
I want a Killing Time shirt.
Hey, you know, hit me up.
Bright Side, baby.
I did the one for Kiss a Goodbye, and one of those dudes ended up hitting me up and asking me if I could just straight up print that shirt for them for a reunion reunion show.
That's amazing.
That they were doing, or as a tour, I can't remember.
Hey, you got yourself a client out of it.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. No, I like printing shirts, and I think it's a really cool thing that a lot of people have found that they can do, and a lot of people realize, just like I do, that it's easy to find artwork on the internet and slap it on a t-shirt and get people to give you some money for it. But I would just suggest doing original stuff, so you don't need to worry about somebody coming to collect for you.
Well, that's the thing, man, is you are a printer. And we're not just talking bootlegs. You print for, your own bands, for other bands. You print for, regional soccer clubs.
Yeah,
you're a
say, my clients are more professional, usually, more often than not. Music is not really what I touch anymore in terms of my daily life. So
I follow you on Instagram. Sometimes you're just like, you are in a sea of t-shirts. It just looks like it's a very, very, very busy job. But what got you into screen printing, man? And how long have you been doing it?
Well, funny enough, it was being in bands that got me into screen printing. I was doing Behold, and my mom has a full service design and ad agency.
Yeah,
and she brought me on when I was just fresh out of high school, and I learned how to design and do websites. And she does media buying and radio ads and all sorts of junk. And just one day, I made an offhand comment about, we were doing t-shirt designs all the time for events and everything. And I just made an offhand comment about having a one screen setup, just building a DIY setup and doing a one screen setup for my own band stuff. And she took that as initiative as investing in a four color press.
Yeah.
It just went from there. It just went from there. Now we've got two presses and a direct garment printer, and we're looking to move into a new setup. And yeah, I mean, it's I love it. It's you got to find what you like doing in life, and I like being a designer and a printer and bringing things into reality that people want manufactured for them. You know.
That's awesome, man. What are you working on right now? I'm sure it's just like some local companies or some local events, or is there?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, real life has kind of affected us all. I mean, I don't know what your work life has been like, but we just were in the middle of a pretty good season for a wrestling. Youth wrestling tournament that we usually do.
And yeah, you can't be doing that with COVID.
Yeah, exactly. Unfortunately, they had to call the rest of the season off, but it's like, it's like I got to print, I think, 18 teams worth of apparel.
Nice.
For like, little kids. And man, that's fun. I love seeing like a youth extra small t-shirt with a print on it, because it's just like, I like to think of like how stoked that kid's going to be to get his wrestling t-shirt. So at least he got that out of his wrestling season,
Absolutely, man. And that's cool, man. It's cool that you're doing music again. You're doing something creative, obviously it's like a production job, so it's a lot of the same thing over and over and over again, but at least there's a creative element to it, and you get to see like an actual tangible product that you make. So that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really rewarding thing to just have a start to finish production, whether it be making a t-shirt or a button or a sticker or, whatever. It's like just today I packed orders for, Etsy stores that we manage, and I had to direct a garment print a t-shirt, and then was packing up with all the accoutrement and sending it off this afternoon. It's like puts my mind at ease, it's a nice thing to do.
Absolutely. It also keeps you, active and keeps you, busy and stuff. I know in my job I do shipping and receiving, and it's just my day job, but it's you know, with a lot of craziness going on right now, it helps me to keep me busy. Obviously, it's going to be a little bit that's why I'm podcasting, to be honest. Like, I'm the Metal Shop and Loud and Local are on hiatus right now because we really actually can't go into the radio station. Everything's on lockdown. So I told myself, like, I'm going to set up a podcast studio in my room, and I'm just going to talk to my friends and talk to musicians and talk to people that have a lot of time on their hands, too, keep myself busy and keep my mind occupied.
I think that's good. It's trying to have some semblance of normalcy when the world does not want to be normal, you know?
So what are your opinions about what's going on right now? Like, I mean, what are our opinions worth anyways about that? Like, what are some things you've noticed about your community? Is there any positives that you can see as kind of unfortunate silver linings? Do you think that there's going to be anything positive coming from this, or is it too early to see that for you?
I mean, I'd like to think that there's always something positive that's going to come out of anything. A lot of the reason I got into hardcore and punk when I was growing up is because I'm from a part of Washington that is not of my political or personal, moral views and opinions in life.
So. Yeah.
You know, Eastern Washington can be very conservative and can be very, outright with their flawed opinions when it comes to, my viewpoint. So I think that this is a period of time where I would like to think, that a lot of people are maybe taking a second to reflect and appreciate things that they have in their life. And maybe, check in with family members that they don't make regular time for anymore. But I also want, have I been personally affected by any of the world at large right now? No, but I care about my family. I care about my mom. I care about my dad. I'm in my 30s. My parents are not evergreen. My parents are getting older and older every year, and they are more susceptible and more affected by this. So if I can do my part to prevent them being affected, or even my grandma, my daughter's great grandma, from being affected, or my coworkers and their family, I think it's best to be responsible, and I think it's best to just take it easy. And if you're in a place where you can be safe with your family, then just enjoy that for as much as you can. And hopefully you've got toilet paper and some food to eat,
But not too much toilet paper or not too much food to eat, because...
No, I do mean genuinely, I hope you have toilet paper.
Exactly. Ian, he got a bidet.
I was just telling Jackie about that. Like, we wanted to do it. The whole thing, the whole talk before all this nonsense happened was, we're going to get a tax return, we're going to get a bidet, it's going to be great.
Well, we'll see, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's being stocked literally anywhere before you can buy one.
Exactly. There. I don't know, man. Last question before we go into a graying song. Is it bong? Is it blunt? Is it joint? Is it pipe? What's your method of inhalation?
Prefer bong all the way, preferably with a very large bowl. I'll go pipe after. I'll go pipe after that. Man, joints and blunts are hard for me. That's a lot to smoke all at one time for me personally. So.
All right.
So, Alex, is there anything you want to shout out? You want to have anyone, follow your band? How do we find your band? How do we find your art? All that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you can find my band on Instagram at Graying Band, on Bandcamp, graying.bandcamp.com. And you can find my art on Instagram, El Hijo del Chico Grosso, or on Twitter at Chico Grosso. And if you want to Google any of the other bands I've looked at, I've shouted out, or I've said my other bands, Behold, Losing Skin, you can find all that stuff. If you want to look me up on Spotify, follow me for playlists and stuff. I'm always putting stuff up there too. So,
Right on, man. What's one band that people need to check out before we go into one of your graying songs? Like, one band you would suggest people... I know you're always getting into some weird, cool stuff.
I've been listening to a lot of Northwest stuff lately. The Helm put out a 7-inch, I believe.
Yeah.
If you look them up, Das Helm. Mm-hmm. All this stuff is great. I've been listening to my... got Bob, who has been in lots of Northwest bands. He's got a couple of projects right now. One of them's called Thanks a Lot. Another one is called Head Phase. You can find both those on Spotify. Listen to Power. Listen to Shook Ones. Northwest hardcore on top, you know.
On top, baby. So we're going to go into a graying song. We're going to end this with a graying song. What's a song of your choice that you want to go into?
Season of Separation. That's probably my favorite on the album.
All right, man. Alex, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for being my first home podcast recording.
Yeah, buddy. Thanks for having me. Thanks for catching up. I missed you.
I miss you too, man. I'll talk to you soon. And, you know, stay inside, stay clean, stay safe, and tell your family I said what's up, okay?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.